Hey, welcome to the Off Market with Adam Stern, where we talk about everything off market, including my specialty and Strata SFR specialty, which is off market SFR portfolios and build for rent projects. We're talking to one of our potential sellers and clients. His name is Mark Kornacek. Right now, Mark sent us a great portfolio of 34 properties that looks and feels like a single build for rent project, but it's actually, we're going to treat it like a scatter site single family rental portfolio because it's all in one community, but they're all stabilized and it's built. So we're going to look at this like an SFR portfolio. He sent us the information on it probably, what, 2 days ago, Mark?
Yes.
2 days ago. Now, our analyst analyzed it, how Strata analyzes every SFR portfolio. And we're just going to go over with Mark, you know, how we analyzed it and explain it to him and get his feedback because we made a lot of assumptions and we need to make sure our assumptions are actually gonna carry through and be true. And if they're not right, we want Mark to tell us what we got wrong about it. All right, so the first thing we do, Mark, is we need to identify what retail value are for these properties. Because, you know, in my experience, like, I've never met a buyer that will even pay $1 over retail value. Like, that's our roof. So that's the very best we could hope to achieve. So the first thing we did is we pulled data, because that's what we have at our disposal. We pulled data from three data sources, Zillow, CoreLogic, and House Canary. And what we do is we throw out the outlier of the three and we pick the high of the next two, of the remaining two. So in column R here, what you see is AVM CMA values. That's what our data is showing us is retail value. That means, like, if these properties were in the same shape as other properties in the market that are fetching, you know, retail value, that's basically what our data is showing us, right? So that's in column R. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Yes. Next thing we do is try to figure out what market rents are and compare them to your current actual rents. So in column Z, we go through the same process with the same data providers and we pull out what we think if these properties were renovated to the top of the market and were fetching top of the market rents, what would those rents be? And that's what you see in column Z. And then we look at the actual rents that these are throwing off in column X. And what we do is we measure the difference between current rents and what market rents are. And that's what you see in column A here. It's called delta. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Based on that delta, what we do is we assign a condition score. So our condition score rating score is the same one as the appraisers use, C1 through C6. C1 being a new construction property, brand new, nothing needs to be done. C6 is a total renovation, total gut job. So, like, what we do is we basically, you know, use this condition rating scale and we assign a CapEx price per square foot. And we kind of come up with these numbers based upon the intelligence we gather from every portfolio we sell. So we know that, you know, if it's a C1, no CapEx needed. A C2 means only cosmetic repairs, $3 a square foot. C3, $8 a square foot. C4, $15 a square foot. C5, $22. And C6, $25 a square foot. And basically the assumption that we're making is the further away your current rents are from market rents, the worse shape your properties are in. And that's just the assumption that we make. And part of what I need you to tell me, Mark, is a lot of times people renovate these, but they don't increase rents because they're, you know, they're sensitive to their tenants having rent increases, or they just want to keep it occupied to keep vacancy at a, you know, at a 0% or 1% level. So, like, we made an assumption about the condition based upon that delta for the rents. But, like, that might not be the case. And I just need you to tell me after this process what we got wrong. So does that all make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. So what we did was we basically took the after repair retail value and then we subtracted out CapEx to come up with a fair market value. And that's what you're seeing here in column Q. So we think this portfolio is worth $5 million retail. We think it needs about $667,000 to stabilize it to market rents, which means the fair market value is $4.33 million, right? And what we did was we simply analyzed it at fair market value. The market's hot right now. People are generally paying, you know, what they need to pay, i.e. fair market value for properties. And the next thing we look at is the cap rates that these things throw off. So what we did here is we basically put this to a standard pro forma, which includes a standard vacancy rate. You know, we use your actual HOAs, which there are none as far as we could tell. We used the 2020 taxes. We're in 2021 now, so 2020 taxes. We estimated the 2021 taxes based upon the 2020 taxes. I see those numbers don't really make a whole lot of sense right now, but we'll update those.
That was what was on the tax bill for 2021.
These numbers were on the tax bill for 2021?
Yes.
Okay, so the taxes went up marginally, but not a whole lot. We use a standard formula for figuring out insurance rates, and we use a 10% maintenance reserve, right? All of this kind of comes out and washes out to be a total operating expense. And how we know we've done a good job in kind of figuring expenses is this column right here, is column AL, expense load. Generally, like in Atlanta, what we're seeing time and time again for properties that are like, you know, stabilized and operating in a certain, you know, area, like this one's in Cartersville, Atlanta, that expense load ranges between like 32 and like 42%. So we're at 36% right now, which tells me we're probably going to be pretty in line with what our buyers are going to be underwriting their expense load to be. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay. So what we got here analyzing it at fair market value is a gross yield of 10.4% and a net yield of 6.6%. And it stabilizes to an 8.62% net cap rate after someone buys this for market value, puts in the $650,000 of CapEx. Once they do all that and spend the time and energy to do that, they should come out with an 8.62% net yield. So here's basically what I'm seeing. A 6.6% net yield is a good net yield, a really good net yield. And an 8.62% is a really, really good net yield to have after stabilization. In fact, it's so good, I think we might have underestimated retail values by a certain extent. So my first question for you is, do you have a sense, like we can only use the data that we have at our disposal.
Yeah.
Do you have a sense of like, if you think our AVMs or CMAs are off by any margin, do you get a sense that we maybe undershot retail values?
I do, because especially in what I sent you, it sent you the map, and LGI is building across the way, which is just going to increase the retail value of these units. And the lack of rooftops in that area is another driver for the rates to be going up. There was a news article that I saw. I actually was up there, and it came on the news. And there are people in Adairsville, which is just not far from Cartersville. Their kids are living in their grandmother's house. They're living in a tent. They have a job. They go to a job every day. Yeah. No rooftops to rent.
So explain this, because I know Atlanta. We saw a lot of portfolios in Atlanta. I know Cartersville by name. Like, what's going on in Cartersville? Like, why is there building going on? Why are people moving there? What's the macro on it? Do you know anything about that?
It's the people moving out of the city, not having to deal with what we dealt with 6 months ago. And Cartersville is 45 miles out, but Atlanta's, I mean, it's just growing like gangbusters. Right. And it has to go. It's going further than that. It's going to Calhoun, which is halfway between Atlanta and Chattanooga. 40 miles north of Cartersville.
So I'm looking at Cartersville on a map right now, and I see that Cartersville is within, let's see how far of Atlanta proper. So if I look at Atlanta, Georgia. So this is, it's a 47-minute trip north, and like up to an hour, right, in traffic.
Yeah.
So to me, like that's like on like the bleeding edge of what I would consider a bedroom community of Atlanta. It's not really a bedroom community, but like, you know, we're seeing people buying in Ackworth in like Dallas, Georgia, which is a little bit further south. So like for me, buyers looking to gain exposure to Atlanta might be a little bit weary about going an hour north to get to Cartersville. Yeah, there's got to be a driver why people are going to be willing to live in Cartersville and maybe not commute to Atlanta, but certainly commute to the bedroom communities around Atlanta, like Marietta, West Hampton, Kennesaw, for work. Like, is there employment around there that's, you know, it's closer to Cartersville that
distribution warehouses is up like gangbusters. Like, if you were to take a real time video of that area, you would see millions and millions and millions of square footage of distribution centers.
Got it. Do you know, like, what's the average salary for someone that's, that works in distribution side? What are you figuring, like $50,000-$60,000 a year?
Yeah.
Maybe less?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I'm looking at your portfolio and I'm looking at the rents And let's say, like, at your current rent, someone that makes $60,000 or $50,000 a year can certainly afford between a $925 and a $1,350 a month rent. And even when you stabilize it to a higher rent, where the average rents are going to be closer to $1,500 up from your current average, which is like closer to like $1,100, it's still well within the capabilities of someone that works at a distribution plant or even a retail store, postman, fireman, you know, people that are either blue collar workers or, you know, moderately paid white collar workers, right? It's that kind of product.
If you were to look at, like, I know you're just looking at Cartersville on a map, but if you took a Google street shot of like downtown Cartersville,
it is
hip. It is the place to be. It's like Woodstock. It's like Canton. It's like Ackworth. All those places, which, and I used to live in Atlanta. I lived there from 98 to 2005. And I have family that are friends that are live in Cartersville and always have. And I went there 15 years ago. And I was like, why would anybody live up here?
Downtown Cartersville. I live in Mooresville, North Carolina, in Lake Norman, right above Charlotte. It looks almost exactly like downtown Mooresville. And what's happening in Mooresville, I'm assuming the same thing or similar things happening in Cartersville. It's amazing. I should actually pull up a picture of downtown Mooresville. So that should be funny. If you look at downtown Mooresville where I live, and you look at, what's the restaurant down there? North Main Street. So you look at North Main Street in Mooresville. Get Ian in here. He knows Mooresville better than me. This will be good to do. Ian, what's a shop in downtown Mooresville? What's a destination in downtown Mooresville?
Epic Chop House.
Epic Chop House. Got it. I've been there like 10 times. I can't believe I didn't remember that. Epic Chop House in Mooresville. All right. There we go. There's downtown Mooresville. So this is what downtown Mooresville looks like. Look familiar?
Yeah. I mean, it's identical to that. The one other thing is all these areas, people working from home. They still want cool places to go.
Yeah, so what's happening, what I'm supposing to happen in Cartersville, which is happening in downtown Mooresville, all these older buildings that were built in like the early like 20s and 10s are being bought up by restaurants and beer gardens and like, you know, trendy shops. And it's, for me, like when I want to have a fun night out, I go to Epic Chop House down in downtown Mooresville. I go to the beer garden down there. It's just a cool place to hang. I'm supposing this is happening all over the country. And your subdivision isn't too far away from downtown Cartersville, right? So if I look
it's probably back roads. It's probably 4 miles, maybe.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how good your sense of direction and distance is. So I'm gonna do this right here, and you are exactly 6.6 miles, 11 minutes. So very cool. I like it. So like this is a trending area. There's jobs in the area. It's a little bit further away from Atlanta than most would like, but I think most investors would agree in order to get the better yields that you need, you need to go a little bit further out from Atlanta. And the last like four portfolios we sold in Atlanta, they went for this kind of product that was built in like 2008, 2009. Those yields are either like high fours or low fives. So you're further out and you're going in yield is 6.60. So like, here's the thing. I can't sell an overpriced portfolio. But what I can do is if I found support for these units at a higher price by using comparable sales, not new construction, because these are not new construction, but if I found other sales in the area of a similar size, similar makeup, and a similar year built, like that's what we'll do after this call. Like I'll ask you to help me and I'll have my data guys go out and search for, like we have access to MLS. We'll search for better comps for these properties so that, you know, if we can get this number up and have support for the higher retail prices, what's going to happen is your target sales price is going to go up. We're going to do the same thing. After repair value minus CapEx, I would think if we get this to like a high 5.75 with support net yields, people are going to be all over this. That's just my opinion, especially because it's one single subdivision.
When I sent you that rent facts, when you look at the comparables that have higher rent, the properties are not as nice as... There are a couple. There was like a $1,700 and $1,600, but ones that were like $1,300 and $1,400, these were nicer townhomes than those out of the seven that was on the Renfax.
Let's see what this thing looks like. So if you go here and you type in the address, let's see if Zillow has a picture of these things. Yep, there we go. Yeah, so these are individual two-story townhomes, correct?
Yeah. Some have garages, some don't.
Some garage. And do you Do you own 100% of the townhomes in the subdivision, or do you own just a percentage?
The owner of it owns all of them.
This is a build for rent. It's just stabilized right now. So maybe I was wrong in saying this is a scatter site. It's not a scatter site. This is more of a build for rent, but it's already stabilized.
Yes.
Got it. Man, you're getting better and better. I'm like licking my chops over here. I mean, you know, this is exactly the kind of product type and exactly the kind of area that people that want exposure or already have exposure in Atlanta want to get in Atlanta. Here's what I need from you, and I'll work with you on this. I've got resources over here to do this research. If we can find better support than the data we have right now for a higher retail price, let's do that. And let's make sure we're identifying what the real retail value of these things are. If you could look at the condition scores, and I don't want you to change the CapEx rate per square foot, because we know that based on the condition scores, these numbers tend to hold true, or they have held true. What I'd like you to do is, like, if something's like a C6 on our sheet because it's 45% under rented, and you say, and look at it and say, this is not a C6, it was built in 2008, it doesn't need $37,000 worth of CapEx. This is really a C3. Just write me a note saying, hey, we just didn't see fit to raise the rents for XYZ, or here's the reason why the rents are so deficient versus what they should be. And that way we can tamp down on the CapEx. And once we do those two things, the target sales price is going to get higher, the cap rate's going to get lower, and I think that's probably going to fall in line more with what your seller's looking for, right? At the end of the day, does that make sense?
Yes. What happened with this, I believe, it's owned by one entity. It's a husband and wife.
Yeah.
And basically they don't want the headache of raising rents and stuff like that. And it's making a good return for them. So they've been happy with their return. With that being said, they have a number in mind. Let's see if we can get there before we kind of get involved.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get there before I put it out there. Yep. Because it'll make it a whole lot easier if you know you can get there.
Yes. So I totally agree. If we go through this process, me and you, let's get to a number that numbers that we know are right and numbers that I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt we can get for you. Because once we do that, we'll do a meeting with your seller and kind of explain everything that we've done and show them why it needs to be priced the way it is and what the logic is behind it. Because my next step after we get in lockstep with the seller is we've got 36 institutional investors and hundreds of smaller investors. We can look at, our first step is building a buying group. Because to my mind, to run a process on this that creates competitive pressure amongst buyers, but not creating too much pressure, we're like, what we'd like to do is create a buying group of at least 3 to 5 buyers that we know for sure will offer on all of them. And we'll send this portfolio and say, hey, can you offer aggressively on all these properties? Buyer 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 will say, yes, we can. We'll say, great, hold on. Let us build the rest of the buying group. And the reason why I like limiting it is we can pick the best buyers that we know that could be the most aggressive. And if we limit it to, like, let's say 3, we know we're going to be getting offers from all of them. Chances are we're going to be getting full price offers from all of them if we price it right. And once we get full price offers, we can then go to the next step, which is, hey, we got 2 or 3 full price offers. We're putting this to a highest and best. And to my mind, if you have that competitive pressure, market pressure, it's going to get bid up to the right price anyway, right? So our job here is not to guess what that right price is, but to price it well right now so we can get full price offers and have that bidding process take hold where we get to the right price, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Good. Okay. So our next step is doing that. And listen, man, I can't thank you enough for bringing this portfolio to me. Like, I live and die by these kind of portfolios. These are a bread and butter. Mark, you want to give people kind of a sense? Here's a little promo for yourself, for Suncoast and for SI Homes. Where can people find you?
You can find us at southernimpressionhomes.com, and we are out of Jacksonville. I basically look at land deals all over the Southeast, as far as from Florida out in Ocala in Florida, down to Palm Coast, Jacksonville, and then Atlanta. My telephone number is 904-338-2851. We're very opportunistic investors, and you probably know that, Adam, yep, after talking to the press. If there's a deal to be had, you can structure it to make it work.
Yeah. And listen, we're going to do this. We're going to do this in the off market, right? Where there's no marketplace for this asset. But because me and you know what we're doing, we know how to broker deals. We've got a good asset and we know all the buyers that we need to know. We're going to do this deal off market, and it's going to be as quick and as easy and as fast as any on market solution is going to be, because all those things are in place. So, Mark, I can't thank you enough for the time. Appreciate you being with us. If you like this video and you like this content, click below, subscribe. Thanks a lot for watching.